she should give. Boy, he got it. And just for that one, the Lord went through all that. And it's in every single soul is important to God. I'm glad of that. Amen. If there's one that could have been written off and overlooked, it was Dave Spurgeon. But God didn't overlook me or write me off. He sent somebody to tell me of his grace. And by his grace, I got it. Amen. I'm glad to have it. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, let me let you in on something. At least when I'm standing here, I can hear me. And considering I'm about at least 50% deaf, I can't figure out why. I don't know if it's the straight pipes on the Harleys or the machine guns, but for whatever reason, if I can hear me, it's probably pretty loud for you. So, amen. If it is, and you everybody go like this, it's not going to change what I do, but maybe the sound man will make some adjustment. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight, I did not coordinate with the song leader or anybody else about any of the singing. I never do. I'm not coordinated enough to coordinate with anybody. Amen. But by the same token, I find it extremely interesting how God does things. So if I would have tried to pick something to ask to be mentioned or sung about tonight, it would have been heaven. But I didn't mention it. But we sang about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight, and verse 9, and the Bible says this, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Amen. That's a precious verse right there. Amen. Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 3, "I go to prepare a place for you." And my Bible tells you what that place is. It's a mansion. And it's in the Father's house. And I'm looking forward to that. And it's been said, and it's true, there isn't a structure on this planet that begins to compare what Jesus Christ went to prepare. Amen. Amen. And that Bible says this, as it is written. Say, how do you know that, Brother Spurgeon? Because it's written. Amen. Amen. Did you learn that in Bible school? No. Is that somebody, one of your heroes, is that what he thinks? No. It's written in that Bible. What we believe and what we know, we've got God's word on. Amen. I got thoughts and opinions and ideas just like you. And also like you, I'd be better off oftentimes to keep them to myself. But my Christianity tonight is based on what that Bible says. And that Bible says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in to the heart of man." Now that's an interesting statement right there. Because the heart of man is capable of coming up with some pretty wild stuff. Amen. Now I'm not a fan of Hollywood, on the contrary. But 30 years ago, I went to a movie that long before I was saved, maybe I should add that, called Star Wars. I don't know why. I went and even saw it. I wasn't interested in science fiction back in the gang days, but somebody talked me into going and seeing this movie. And two things. Number one, I wasn't impressed with Luke Skywalker. I thought he was a sissy. Amen. Say, what that got to do with anything? Nothing. I just like to say that to you. And the other thing that impressed me about that movie, I didn't like the movie, but I thought it was incredible that they were able. They got spaceships flying around in space, and they'd focus a beam on a planet and blow it up. You know, and I kind of like that part. But the fact that the thing that impressed me was that it looked so real. I mean, unbelievably real. Amen. Man is not only capable of coming up, imagining, not only is some pretty wild stuff able to enter into the heart of man, but because of special effect technology and stuff like that, he's able to put it on a screen and make it more believable than real life. Let me illustrate that like this. On July 20th, 1969, I was in high school, and Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Amen. I saw it. I saw it on television. I saw him walking on the moon. It wasn't nearly as impressive as Star Wars. Amen. It was kind of crude, and the moon didn't look very attractive. As a matter of fact, I had a hard time believing it even was the moon. I really had a hard time when several years ago, coming from California into southern Texas, we came in on Interstate 10 at El Paso and began to come across the interstate there through the desert of West Texas. And I'll tell you what, I was fully persuaded, this was just five, six, 7 years ago, I was fully persuaded that that's where they filmed the moon shot, because that's what it looked like, the moon. And I'm a Tennessean, and many Tennesseans went and fought for Texas liberty. And this thought also occurred to me as we were driving across the desert of West Texas. I thought, I can't believe anybody from Tennessee left that beautiful, beautiful place. Okay, I'll take it. And fight and die for Texas. Amen. But I will say this. I was on my way to San Antonio, and Texas is much prettier there than it was out there where I was. Amen. So maybe I understand. Here's what I'm trying to say. Mankind does not even have the capability. I mean, on our best day or our worst day, can we even begin to scratch the surface of that place that God went to prepare, that place we sing about, that place we read about, and Lord willing, that place we long for, known as heaven. Amen. Heaven's a very special place. Amen. I can't wait to get there. I'm going to preach on it a little bit tonight if you haven't figured that out already. But before I do, I'm going to tell a joke. Amen. All right. I hope that's, you know, what it sounds like when it's over. A joke. There's this fella, and all of a sudden he appeared before the pearly gates. The pearly gates are scriptural. They're in there. And then St. Peter was standing there. He's the doorman. So everybody knows that. Personally, I'm having a hard time finding it. But so many people believe that, so I figure it just must be me. I just keep missing it. But either way, for the sake of this, this man appears there, and he wants to go in heaven. And St. Peter, he got demoted to usher somewhere, I guess. And he's standing there, and he says, "What do you want?" And the guy says, "I want to go in." And St. Peter said, "Why should I let you in?" And the guy said, "Well, I did a very heroic deed." And the guy said, and St. Peter said, "You did, huh? What'd you ever do? And the guy tells a story, and it goes like this. I was walking down the street, and there was a bar with a bunch of motorcycles out front, a bunch of Harleys, a bunch of these long-haired, bearded bikers standing out on the sidewalk, and they were giving this girl a hard time. They were trying to get her purse and shoving her around and giving her a hard time, and I thought she was very distressed and about ready to panic, and I knew I had to do something. And St. Peter, he's interested, and he says, "Yeah, what'd you do?" He said, well, I knew I couldn't whip them. So I ran over to the first motorcycle and I pushed it over. And they all fell over like dominoes on the street. And that got everybody's attention away from the girl and onto me. And the girl got away and she escaped and I saved her. And St. Peter said, you did that? And the guy said, I did. St. Peter said, when did you do that? And he said, about 2 seconds ago. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a vote at the end of the meeting whether or not I should never tell another joke. Amen. But the point is this. That fellow wanted into that place called heaven. I'm glad that I'm not waiting until my body is in the ground and my soul is departed. I'm glad I'm not waiting till that day to know whether or not I'm going in. Amen. Amen. I'm glad today that I've got confidence in the Scripture, and I know, not because of anything I did, not because of a shave and a haircut, or cleaning up my life or my language, or putting on a new set of clothes, or starting to go to church instead of the place I used to go, or reading the Bible instead of the things I used to read. I know I'm not counting on any of those things to get me into heaven. On the authority of the Word of God and my faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, believing it, amen, my name got written in the book of life. And I'm going in. And if you're saved, that's why. And if you're counting on anything else to get you into heaven, you need to take this opportunity to reexamine whatever it is you're trusting in, because the Lord made it real simple. He made it real simple to get, and he made it real simple to miss. And according to Matthew chapter 7, a whole lot of people are going to miss it. But praise the Lord, here you are in a Bible-believing church. You have no excuse to miss it. Amen. I'm going to preach on heaven tonight. For a few minutes. I like saying that too. Amen. Now, there's a lot of stuff about heaven in the Bible, and an attempt is made to describe it, and even the Bible itself can't describe heaven. Not that the Bible's lacking, it's us. But an attempt is made, and you can study it yourself, and the foundations and the jewels and the gates and all that, the thrones, the trees, tree of life, the river, all that stuff. There's so much stuff in there about heaven, and therefore that's not what I'm going to preach on, any of that stuff that if you open your Bible, you can read yourself. I just want to provoke you to think tonight for just a little while on this thought. I want you to think about people that are going to be in heaven. People that you're going to see in heaven. Let me say this before I pray. First and foremost, the King of Kings is going to be there. And that ought to be who you're looking forward to see. The King, the Lord of Lords. Amen. I love the title, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's going to be there. And because of him, you and I are going to be able to go. Amen. But I want to get you to think tonight about people that you're going to see in heaven for a few minutes. Maybe make it a little sweeter. Maybe make the burdens of this life or the trials or whatever it is that bogs us down with the cares of this life, make them a little bit more bearable when we realize that our inheritance is on the other side. Father in heaven, tonight I love you. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending somebody to tell me the truth. I knew I was wicked. I knew I was rotten. I knew I was a sinner. And I knew if hell existed, I was going there. And I knew I deserved it. What I didn't know is that you made a way for even the likes of me to be saved. And I needed to know that so very desperately. And I thank you for sending somebody to tell me. And I thank you tonight that he didn't tell me what his church thought, but he showed me what the Bible said. And by faith, I got my name off the roster of hell-bound sinners. But Lord, I found out a little later about that precious place that you went to prepare for me. And I thank you, Lord, tonight that I am more assured that I'm going to go to heaven when I die than I am where I'm going to go tomorrow or next week or even where I'm standing right now. Lord God, I love you tonight. I hope I never get tired of saying it. I hope I never get to the place where I'm not as thankful as I should be. I pray and ask, Lord, that you meet with us tonight, speak to our hearts, and make us think of heaven maybe in a little different way. And I just pray you'd be pleased with us, that you'd get a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Now, people in heaven, you know, I mean, look, there's a multitude of people that are recorded in your Bible. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. The ones that are saved are going to be there. The ones that live for God are going to be there. And we're not going to hit on all them. But personally, since I'm preaching, I can tell you my personal favorites. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing David. I mean, I admire King David. Amen. I know David did some things wrong. But in the Bible, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody that did as many things right as David did. Amen. And it's a testimony of mankind. Even Christians, when you say the name David, the first thing that popped into mind, maybe it has something to do with killing Goliath because of his faith in the Lord to fight that battle. Maybe I hope that it might have something to do with him being recorded, only person in the Bible recorded as being a man after God's own heart. Those would be the things that you ought to remember about David. Those are the things that I admire about David. But you know what the tendency is? We remember the sin with Bathsheba. We remember the sin with Uriah. We remember the sin with numbering the people. We remember what David did wrong. Beloved, may I remind you a minute tonight that is not what God remembers about you. When your name comes before the ears of God, it does not, the first thing entered into his mind, what he saved you from, what you were, all the things you did wrong. He just sees the precious blood of his son and thanks God that you had enough sense to put your faith and trust in the sacrifice that he sent by the way of his son. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing David. And, I'm a man. This makes sense. I want to see the mighty men. I mean, those guys described in 2 Samuel 22. Amen. I'm not going to go up and rub shoulders with them. I'm not going to go up and swap war stories with them. I don't have any war stories to swap with them fellas. I just want to see them. I just want to listen to them talk. Those guys were heroes. I'm going to tell you something. Back in the old days on the street before I got saved, I run with a pretty tough crowd. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't take any toughness, for lack of a better word, to go with the flow and run with the crowd and get high and play that. And I'm going to tell you what takes some integrity, some courage, is to live for Jesus Christ, to live for God. The toughest men and women that ever live for God. Read your Bible. Those are the ones that I admire. Amen. I'm going to tell you somebody else. I mentioned him accidentally when I got up here. That maniac Gadara. That guy, that was my crowd. That boy was often bound with fetters and chains. That boy is in trouble a lot. That boy, it's recorded, neither could any man tame him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Mark 5:15 records that he was found seated and clothed in his right mind. Amen. That guy I can relate to. You know what? When I get to heaven, I want to find him. And then him and I together, this is the way I picture it, we're going to go find the thief on the cross. Have a little convicted felon reunion. Amen. And I tell you what, me and them two fellas, we're going to have a time, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to be able to rejoice around the throne of God because there'll be absolutely no misconception whatsoever in our minds that we're there by anything other than the amazing grace of God. I am sure that there's people that are going to wonder whether or not their virtue is going to get them there, but my Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's not going to share any of his glory. Let me say it like this. Nobody's going to be in heaven by any virtue of their own. So that makes everybody qualified to join in my party with my two cellmates. Amen. Thief on the cross and the maniac Gadara. I'm looking forward to seeing them. Amen. How about Hebrews chapter 11? We know that as the Hall of Faith. Amen. There's a bunch of names listed there. And boy, the Lord saw fit to list them here in this chapter of the Bible. You got Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Got Isaac and Jacob. Even got Sarah listed there. Amen. Got Joseph and Moses. The harlot Rahab. Listed in there with the heroes of the faith. God used that girl. Amen. Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. Amen. Boy, those folks are going to be up there. We're going to have a time. I'm going to tell you what. There's a crowd mentioned in this very chapter that's going to be there. And they're found in verse 37 of Hebrews 11. It says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Somebody gives you a hard time about handing out a tract. You need to remember that crowd right there. You need to read enough church history to remember that thousands were martyred so that you and I could have two or three King James Bibles laying around that we don't read like we should. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. They're going to be in heaven. We're not going to be the stars of nothing when we get there. Boy, there's going to be some folks up there. Amen. That I just want to see them. Amen, don't you? I want to provoke you to think about people in heaven tonight. I've got loved ones there. My mom's there. I know I got some dear friends there, but my blessed old mom's there. Boy, she prayed for me all them years. I was out there running around like a fool, breaking her heart. Amen. I never comprehended what my decisions to live for myself were doing to people that, the people that I cared about, that cared about me and loved me, mainly my mom and dad. Amen. But I know she's there because my Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I was in upstate New York when my mom went home to be with the Lord 6 years ago. Amen. God gave us 11 years together this side of Calvary. Amen. After I got saved, she'd been saved all my life. And boy, I tell you what, all the shame and disgrace I brought on the family was forgotten. And she was my biggest fan. My biggest fan in the ministry, an old Methodist lady. She'd stand up and say, "That's my boy. I prayed for him. That's my boy." Boy, I tell you what, that made it for me. Amen. I was in upstate New York when I got the call. I was preparing to preach a meeting, and my wife came and knocked on the door. My mom had been sick for several years. My wife knocked on the door, and I opened it, and I was in the back, and her eyes were full of tears, and she said, "David?" And I just looked at her, and I said, "Is it Mom?" I think she said, "It's your mom." And I said, "Did she go home?" My wife just shook her head, yes, started crying. I said, "Okay." And I shut the door and turned around and got on my knees and thanked God their suffering was over. Amen. Went in, got dressed, went in, told the preacher, I said, I hate to tell you this, I'm going to have to leave this meeting. I've got to go to Tennessee to my mother's funeral. We'll preach tonight. We're ready. We'll preach tonight. But after tonight, I got to leave. I drove down there. I was on my way, and I called Brother Gresham. And your pastor knows my pastor. And I said, "Brother Tom, I'm going to need you to preach this funeral. I've got relatives I've been praying for years that are going to be there, drunks and dope heads and every denomination and just their mess, and they need to hear the truth, and I don't think I can do it." My mom and I were extremely close, and he said, "Whatever you need, brother, I'll do." And as I drove that 900 miles, boy, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, "You know, you've been praying. You've been asking somebody to send these folks. You've been asking me to send somebody to these folks to tell them about my gospel." I said, "Now's your chance." And the Lord gave me a peace. I called Brother Tom. I said, "Brother, the Lord showed me to do the funeral myself." And when I got down there to Tennessee and her body was in a casket, and all my lost relatives were weeping and wailing and popping pills and sneaking out back and having a drink and all that. I just stood there, and I knew she wasn't there. And when they all had a fit and they're getting ready to close the casket, I was able to walk over and say, I'll be seeing you later. On the authority of the Word of God, there's some people that are very, very precious to me in heaven. I'm glad I'm going. I'm going to see them again. I'll tell you what, there's people in heaven tonight. Maybe you've got somebody very special there, a loved one. Boy, the difference between us and the rest of this world is we're going to see them again. Amen. Amen. There's people up there, most likely, and if not, not yet, eventually there will be. There'll be people there that had something to do with you being saved. People that prayed for you. Maybe people you don't even know. My grandmother, she went blind at 90. She'd been serving God all her life, and she went blind at 90 years old. And one of my cousins said, Grandma, it don't seem fair. You've been doing right, living for God, and now he's let you go blind. My grandmother said, it's all right. Is that it gives me more time to pray for David. I needed it. She prayed for me 9 more years. She lived to be 99 years old. Went home to be with the Lord on my birthday. Prayed for me right to the end. Boy, I tell you what, my Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. I believe my old grandma, she knew the day that I got my name in the book of life. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. There's other folks. The very person that prayed with you or preached to you or had something to do with you getting saved may be there right now. You're going to see him again. I want to provoke you to get your mind off things down here for a few minutes tonight. Get your affection on things above. This life, this parenthesis called time, is nothing more than a drop in a bucket, a grain of sand in God's long view of eternity. Yet all our attention and thought and energy is wasted on this life when heaven is our future. I want to provoke you to think about this, beloved. You're saved here tonight. I want you to think about people that you're going to see in heaven that you had something to do with them being there. When the cares of this life start to overwhelm, being able to recall maybe somebody that's going to live forever because of some effort on your part to fulfill the commission that God gave every one of us to live for Him and witness for Him, to the thought that eternally something's going to last, that'll help you get through the things that bog us down in this life. It works for me. So let me just give you a few things here. Number one, people that you prayed for. In heaven, there's going to be people there that you prayed for. Now, I've been here just a few days, but in the course of those few days, especially Sunday, a couple occasions we took prayer requests. Amen. We do that at our church, and sometimes it's for different reasons. A lot of times it's for souls. Somebody that the Spirit of God has burdened you for, and not only do you pray for them, Lord willing, but you bring their name before your brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hear it everywhere I go. We take prayer requests and then take time and pray. Isn't it a blessing that once in a while somebody will give a report and say, so-and-so, and sometimes it's people you've heard their name on the list for a long time, and you'll hear, so-and-so, just a name, got saved. Aren't you glad you prayed for him? Aren't you glad when that happens, when God gives the increase and just gives us a little bit, a handful on purpose once in a while to see that our labor's not in vain, and you hear. But you know, the truth is, a lot of times you never hear. You never hear. You pray and you pray and you pray for people, and you never hear whether or not they got saved or not. I mean, that's God's business. God will honor that prayer. But every once in a while, He lets you know something. We had a man in our church. We got a man in our church, and our pastor met him and got a burden for him and started bringing his name to the prayer meeting. And every Thursday night, you'd hear this name. Brother Eastep would bring his name up. Sergio Gonzalez, Cuban fella, good fellow. Amen. He was saved, but he had backslid for years and hadn't been in church for a long time. And every Thursday, I'm talking about for probably 3 years. Pray for Sergio Gonzalez. Get right with God. Come to church. Brother Eastep never let up. Never gave up. I'm going to tell you what, we didn't have to write his name down. It was just permanently on the prayer list. I was an usher back then. And boy, I remember the Thursday night I came to church and a couple of the men called me over and they're whispering. They said, Brother Spurgeon, look. I look in there. I said, what? They said, see that guy right there? That's Sergio Gonzalez. I mean, we prayed for him for so long. He came. His kids have got saved. Amen. God's blessed him. He married the pastor's daughter. He came and he never left. He's been there ever since. It's been about 12 years now. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is this. He was just a name, man. He was just a name. He was a burden on somebody's heart who brought him up and for prayer. And, man, I am sure glad when I look across the auditorium and see Brother Sergio sitting there and his wife and his children. I am so glad that I prayed for him. There's people that are going to be in heaven because of him. I'm glad I got in on it. So, number one tonight, I want you to just think for a moment about no matter what's going on in this life, there's going to be people in heaven because of your prayers. That is, if you pray. What I found out is too many Christians in our age, their prayer life is similar to a lost prisoner in a county jail's prayer life. Amen. It goes like this. Help! I'm serious. It's amazing that in the jails, boy, everybody knows to call out to God when they need help. Amen. What's a crying shame is that's the only prayer too many Christians know. All their prayers consist of themselves. Oh, God, help me. Help my wife get right. Help my husband get right. Help my finances get right. Give me a job. God, I need a break here. I need this. And it almost translates in the ears of God like this. As soon as I get in, as soon as you get everything right in my life, God, I'll do something for you. I'll even pray for others. I'll tell you what, beloved, if you would figure this thing out, that if you'd spent more time praying for other people, you wouldn't need as much prayer yourself. We're supposed to pray for others. And if you will, it will result in souls in heaven, many that you may never even know till you get there. People be walking up and saying, hey, you know my name. Thanks for praying. And you're like, wow. If you pray. How about somebody you handed a tract to? How about people in heaven because you carry and distribute gospel tracts? We got another guy in our church, and the story went like this. A girl from our church went to the community college downtown Dayton, Ohio, and she'd leave tracts, and she left some tracts around. She left a tract with my testimony in the cafeteria, left it laying on a table. And this guy came in and he saw it, big old biker guy, ponytail, big old guy, and he picked it up, he read it, and out of skepticism, he called the church. He looked the church up, he called in, and he says, listen, I just read this pamphlet about this guy, and I just got one question. And here was the question. I want to know where this guy is today. And it was a critical spirit, skeptical spirit, like he didn't even believe the story was true. And the secretary said, well, he'll be here tonight. I mean, he's a member of the church. Why don't you come and you can meet him? And that guy was so skeptical, he came. I was the usher, and I walked in the door, and he was already there, and he's sitting over there. And anytime I saw anybody I didn't know, I'd go give them a visitor's pack and welcome them to church. And I walked over there and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, welcome to charity. And I'm glad you're here and I hope you'll get a blessing tonight. My name's Dave Spurgeon. You should have seen the look on his face. You know, he couldn't believe it. There I was. I'm going to tell you what. That guy got in, and his wife got saved, and his kids got saved, and that was 10 years ago. Because a teenage girl, maybe 20 years old, handed some tracts out, just left them on the table at the college. I'll tell you what, there's been over 1.5 million of the gospel tract printed in English and almost another 500,000 in 5 other languages. We've received over 2,000 back in the mail at the church, most of them with professions of salvation. We follow them up with Bible study and get their name and address to the closest Bible-believing church that we know of, and there's probably many more that we'll never know, but the bottom line is the Word of God says of itself, it won't return void. So if you'll be faithful to put those things in your pocket and hand them out, amen, fruit will come of that thing. Amen. That is, let me say it like this, there'll be people in heaven because of your efforts to hand out tracts. The only condition is you got to hand out tracts. God makes it real easy to get his word out. The hang up, the hold up is us. Amen. But I know that God uses these things to get people saved. Are you in on that? I hope you're in on that. Amen. How about people you witness to? There's people that if you witness, there's people that you witness to that are going to be in heaven. Maybe you don't even know it. But that book says, I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And you don't ever know where you are in the line, amen, but you're just supposed to be faithful. But I say this to you, if you will be faithful, God will give the increase. Amen. We're not going to know till we get to heaven the fruit of our labor. But the condition is that we labor. That we do something, that we pray, that we hand out tracts, that we're not ashamed to say something for the Lord Jesus Christ. This world's on its way to hell, and it needs us to not be ashamed. Right. Amen. How about people in heaven, people saved tonight because you helped a missionary or even a ministry here in the States. Amen. My family supports several missionaries. I love getting the letters. Our church forwards the letters. I read through those things, and some of those guys are in places where they're seeing some fruit, and it blesses my soul to know that just by sending some money to them and praying for them every month, we got a part of what they're doing. God doesn't call everybody to go, but God calls everybody to do something. And if you pray, you've got missionaries. I looked at your board back there. I know some of them folks. I know them all now. Now that I met Brother Manny and Sister Terry. And, amen, if you pray for them, if you help them, you support them, you let alone go over there and help them, you've got a part in everything they accomplish. Isn't that exciting? Amen. I'll tell you what the devil will do. The devil will beat us down as we go through the daily rat race of our little life here, and he'll give you the impression that those folks there are the frontline soldiers and the pastors and evangelists and people that are preaching and sending out letters, and he'll make you think that's what doing something for God is. You're not doing nothing. What you're doing doesn't matter. Hey, listen, nobody's doing nothing without you. If you don't give, if you don't pray, if you don't encourage, nothing's going on. Going to be people in heaven in Vietnam and the Philippines and Mexico and the Ukraine and all over the world, amen, because people pray and give. And if you pray and you give, you got a part of that. The Bible says we're laborers together. Amen? Of course, that's conditional. I mean, there are going to be people in heaven because of your prayer and support if you pray and support. I can't imagine living this Christian life and not being involved somehow in getting people to Christ. Amen. I don't even know what the point would be. Amen. I thank God for the people that support us, people that pray for us, the checks that come in every month. There's months we never know what 1 week or 1 month, we never know. Amen. We're out here watching prices go up and repair, and we never know But we trust God's people. We couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do it without your prayers. We don't even want to try. Amen. If our prayer card, we got some prayer cards back there, got three pictures on it, you know, the three of us. But if our prayer card had everybody's picture on it that's an integral part of our ministry, it'd have to be as big as a billboard. Amen. All the people that pray, all the people that help, all the people that do all the things to keep us going, whether it's working our cards or send us our mail, I'm going to tell you what, this is definitely a joint operation. And everybody's important to God. And there's going to be fruit in heaven because of our labor together. Amen. And if you're laboring with anybody, there's going to be people in heaven. When the devil starts to beat you down, discourage you, that's what you need to be reminded of. That's what you need to think of. He's a stinking liar. And if you're in on this, if you're in on any of these things, amen, there's fruit in heaven. There's going to be souls there. There's going to be people in heaven because of you, because of your faithfulness. Now, I don't know how to say this. If you're not praying for anybody but yourself, if you're not handing out tracts, if you're not witnessing, if you're not inviting people to church, if you're not helping a missionary, if you're not doing those things, what are you going to do in heaven? Amen. Here's what I mean. Those of us that are in on this thing, there's going to be souls there because of our effort. Amen. So when we get there, we're going to be shaking hands with them, fellowshipping with them, talking to them. What are you going to be doing? Maybe there's a lobby in heaven. Maybe there's a lobby, and if you're not involved in the work of God in any way, maybe you just can hang out in the lobby for a couple thousand years while the rest of us are fellowshipping with souls that we had something to do with being there. Don't worry, we still like you. We'll get back to you, you know, when we're done. People in heaven tonight, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Now that's going to be good. It's going to be a glad reunion for loved ones. You're going to see again. It's going to be a glad reunion for maybe the ones instrumental in you being saved yourself. It's going to be good to get there and be able to put a name with a face you prayed for, or find out a tract that you handed out really did. Somewhere along the way, God did save that person. Maybe the person that got in your face in Manhattan. Maybe the person that cussed you or threatened you. You know, God's got a way. Oh, don't you know? God's got a way of breaking through all that. Want to be good when he comes up and says, sorry, man. Sorry for the way I treated you, but I sure, I believe it's going to be that way. Amen. Why not? Amen. But so that'll be exciting. But everything's not going to be exciting. There's going to be some sadness, too. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's where my name is. Amen. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Amen. Now, if I read my Bible right, if you're saved in here, you're going to be a witness at the great white throne judgment. You're not going to be judged there. Your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. You're going to be an inhabitant of heaven by the time that happens. But that judgment's coming, and death and hell are going to give up the dead who are in them, and heaven and earth's going to flee, and everything's just going to be out there in the middle of I don't know where. But there's going to be a judgment. And there's going to be people that died in their sin and lifted up their eyes in hell. And for a brief time, they're going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe you're going to see them. And I believe what you're going to see is some people that you prayed for. And you'll find out that day they never did get it. And I think you're going to see some people that you tried to witness to or win to Christ. And you're going to see them condemned because they never got it. And that's not going to be cheerful. And all tears aren't wiped away at this point. And I think that'll be sad. And there's going to be people that you tried to hand a tract to. And if you're like me, you've got every variety of response when you tried to hand out, I don't need that, blankety blank, blankety blank. And some of those folks are going to be right there. and you're going to see them, and it's going to be a sad thing. Amen. You're going to see folks that refuse to witness and refuse to put their faith and trust in Christ. You're going to see them condemned. And that will be sad. But I'm going to tell you what's sadder than that. And it's going to take place there too. I believe it's entirely possible that you're going to see folks there as they give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Bible says, so that every one of us must do. You're going to see folks give an account that you could have had an effect on, and you didn't. You're going to see folks there that, as they give an account for never getting saved, that maybe you knew them, but you never witnessed to them because you were too busy. You might see somebody there, a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, and as they are preparing to amen their own damnation rather than be in the presence of the just one, you're going to see somebody there condemned that you didn't witness to because, you know, the thing that stopped you was you were worried about what they would think if you tried to tell them that their soul was in danger. That keeps Christians from witnessing all the time. What do you think they're going to think then? Wouldn't it be better to risk offending them now? I believe in speaking the truth in love. But by all means, speak the truth. It'll be too late then. What a crying shame it might be if you see somebody condemned for eternity that you crossed their path, you might have even known, but you never bothered to witness to because for whatever reason, you really didn't care if they went to hell or not. Maybe they were a different race or a different mentality, a different culture, a different, you know what I mean. What a crying shame it is that we don't see people as souls like the Lord does. I think that'll be pretty sad. How many are you going to recognize at the great white throne and hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? You're going to see some there and hear them, and they're going to hear that that you tried to reach, but what about the ones you didn't even try to reach? Think about this. When Peter followed the Lord Jesus Christ afar off, when he followed him and he was warming his hand by the fire and he denied the Lord thrice, and when he did the third time, the cock crew, like the Lord said it would, that Bible records in Matthew, Peter was outside and Christ was in the judgment hall, but evidently Peter could see him in there because that Bible says that when that cock crew, after Peter had denied him three times, just like the Lord told him he was gonna, it said the Lord turned and looked at him. I'm going to tell you what, Peter's remorse and weeping and cursing there, all that over the cock crowing, which proved that Christ was right and he did deny him, I believe that was nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ making eye contact with him. I say all that to say this. Can you picture the Lord on the throne there at that judgment and one by one, so that every one of us must give an account of himself to God? And that process is taking place, and there's going to be the redeemed of the Lord. There is witnesses. Can you imagine the Lord saying to somebody, "Why did you reject the gift of eternal life?" Can you imagine somebody down there bound hand and foot say something like this? "Well, I knew so-and-so, and they claimed to be a Christian, and you know, they went to church once in a while, but really most of the time, they lived just like I did. I didn't really think there was anything to it." There's people that are going to get cast in a lake of fire that knew Christians. Could you imagine your name coming up at the great white throne like that? Could you imagine the Lord on the throne as he says to that person, depart? Could you imagine him looking over his shoulder and making eye contact with you because your name just came up as an excuse for rejecting Christ when God redeemed you and left you here that you would point others to Christ? And you've done the exact opposite? That's a sober thought. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's going to get crowded up there, isn't it? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and indeed he is worthy. That'll be glorious. That's going to happen through all eternity. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I sing, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Won't that be great? I mean, that's what we got to look forward to in heaven. Worshiping the Lamb of God. Perfect unity among all the brethren for the first time. But boy, once we get it, we're going to keep it. Amen. We're going to stay. It'll all be about him and none of it will be about us. And that's going to be glorious. But before all that praise and worship, before all the fellowshipping that I was talking about, going to be for souls that you had something to do with getting there, before all that starts, you, Christian, are going to give an account of what you did with your Christian life. And I'll tell you what, it'd be good for us every once in a while to recall that and think about that and ask you this question. Are there going to be any people in heaven because of you? Because you pray, because you witness? Are there going to be anybody up there? Or are you wasting the life that Jesus Christ bought for you on the cross of Calvary on yourself? Please, please don't stand by and let people around you go to hell. And if you are, maybe you're saved, but you're off track. You're off track. And it's all about you again. And the cares of this life got your attention and your affection. And amen. There's still something to do about it. There's still time to do something about that. And there's still time to get your priorities lined back up. If you're breathing, there's time to get your priorities right again. And Jesus Christ left us here to represent him and to point people to the cross. And everything else is icing on the cake. That's our purpose. That's the way the Lord chose to do it. That's how the Lord chose to propagate his gospel and fill heaven for all eternity. And somebody was doing it right because you got it. But what are you doing with it? Now I'm going to close here in a second. I want my daughter to come. I'm going to have her sing a song. And I want you to listen to it real good. Let me say this while she's coming. If you're in here and you're not saved, and you die before you get saved, before you get your sins forgiven scripturally, I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about putting your faith in Christ. You're going to see Christ briefly, not like the rest of us are going to see him in heaven as our Savior. You're going to see him as your judge. And the Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. And if you're in here and you're not saved and you die that way, that'll be your fate. And that's not the Lord's will, and it's not our will for you. And we can open the Bible and show you how to get your name off that list and into that book of life. Why? The Lamb that we spoke of in Revelation chapter 5 that's worthy to receive honor and power and glory and blessing, and the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that Lamb, that's the same Lamb in John chapter 1 of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Well, he's going to reign forever, but he came here to make a way for us to be forgiven. Thank God. If you're not saved, please don't end up in hell. You don't have to. You don't have to. She's going to sing, and I want you to listen. If you're in here and you're saved, I want you to consider the things that I've said tonight. And do business with God accordingly. If you're not saved, you're going to end up in this place that she's singing about. And you don't have to. Please don't. Abby, go ahead. Just listen and I'm done.
My friend, I stand in judgment now. I feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walked beside you day by day. You could have led me straight to him, but knowledge then was very dim. Never once did you show me the way. You called me friend, but that was then. We were young and best of friends, living here on good old planet Earth. But now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. You never told me of that second birth. And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful flame. I'm suffering so much pain here. And through it all I see your face. I'm glad you're back. True, I called you friend, I trusted you. We walked by day and talked a lot at night. But now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate and showed me how to walk in paths of light. Oh, but you let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high, and now I stand each day at last condemned. Yes, I called you my friend in life. I trusted you through joy and strife, but now I see that you were not my friend. So tell your friend suffering, see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end.
up out of our seats right now and come down here and pray together tonight. I just wonder if you'll do that. We're not going to sing any songs, Pat. I just like to have us gather around the front here tonight. I'm sure the message spoke to your heart. Maybe tonight there's just something you need to talk to the Lord about this evening, or maybe you've been the best witness you can be, as best you know how, but there's someone on your heart tonight you need to pray for. Maybe it's a next-door neighbor. Maybe it's the person you work with every day. Maybe it's a loved one, a wife, a father, a friend, a child. Why don't we just pray together here tonight around this altar as a church? And you know, if something's not right in your heart tonight, this is a good time, together with your church family, just to make it right. Let's go home tonight clean. Let's go home tonight right with God. And maybe tonight there's somebody, maybe before we leave this room, after you've had a chance here to think about this and pray about this, maybe we can pray about some folks tonight together. But while you're thinking and praying right now, I want to read this verse. It says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" You and I can't say honestly to God, "Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to do this. I didn't know I was supposed to be concerned about people around me. I didn't know I should have told that person about Christ." Doesn't the one who knows our heart and ponder our heart, doesn't he know we're not telling the truth? You and I can't hold our face up and answer God that way one day. Now maybe tonight the message spoke to your heart and you haven't been the witness you should be. Man, let's get clean right now, right here, together, tonight as a church. Let's do this right now. You seek the Lord and you draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and you pray. You be honest with God right now. If you haven't been faithful in that area of your life,